Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America. And again, it is one of those Sunday mornings where it's racing around the globe as we are in the midst of the ARC card from Longchamp this morning. There'll be some more nice group ones coming up a little bit later on, but in just a couple of minutes, it will be the group one Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe over at Longchamp in France, a mile and a half on the turf. According to my American PPs, over $6 million up for grabs. Tarnawa is currently the choice at 5-2. Hurricane Lane, the number 11, and Tarnawa is number 4. Number 11, Hurricane Lane. Excuse me, it's 7-2. Both of those look logical. Adeyar, the number 10 horse to me, is very playable. You're getting 4-1 there. The Charlie Appleby runner coming out of a win last time at Ascot in July. If you're looking for a price, and I was kind of, before we came on the air, just looking around and seeing, you know, where is maybe one that's intriguing, because I agree with all these. Tarnawa, if you were watching just before we came on the air, they were talking to the trainer. I guess the conditions of the ground are maybe going to be a little bit of a concern. Hurricane Lane has done well over soft and off going. Adeyar has done well. So the 10 is probably the one that's really attractive to me. But again, if you're looking for a little bit of a price, I thought the number 9 Baby Rider, 60-1. I thought that horse coming off a win right here at Longchamp, not a win, a close-up second-place finish at Longchamp most recently, September 12th. I thought that one could be a little bit interesting if you wanted to play around and shop for a price. 5 times in the exacta and 7 lifetime starts, son of Glen Eagles. So I thought maybe the 9 Baby Rider was one you could put into your mix and potentially have a little fun with. So I guess I'm kind of 10, 4, 11, and 9 in here in the ARC. And they are, as you see, parading down the course. It was kind of fun. As you saw, again, before we went on the air, they had a lineup of jockeys who have previously won the race. And it was fun to see some familiar names, even for those of us over here. I mean, they were international level names. Obviously, a huge day of racing internationally. As you can see, the crowd and always, one of the top group ones in the world year in and year out. And we do get some Breeders' Cup runners that come out of the ARC, but it always seems like they're maybe a little more pointed to the ARC than they are to the Breeders' Cup, understandably. And the Breeders' Cup almost becomes an afterthought, believe it or not, but that's the way it works out. We'll see how it plays out this year. Who comes out, and then in the next couple of days, we'll get word whether they're headed here or not. Again, given the condition of the course today, I'm not sure that's going to play into Del Mar in a few weeks, regardless of the performance this afternoon. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays this afternoon. Some of these horses will very much like it, and some still may be a question mark, but we are only moments away from, again, the ARC coming up. Also, before the end of the program today, will be the Prix de l'Opera for the Fillies and Mares, another group one that is always important on the schedule over in Europe as well. And that'll come out, that'll run at about 10:50, I believe. In the meantime, we'll go to the ARC in a moment and take a look at that live. Then we'll come back and we'll do some recaps of the really nice stakes action yesterday across the country. We have some stakes from Churchill and Santa Anita, but in just a few minutes we'll also be joined by Dave Grenig, the New York correspondent for the Daily Racing Form. Wanted to go over the stakes yesterday at Belmont, which included, of course, the Woodward and the Champagne. And then we'll also toss in, there was a couple of two-year-old stakes on Friday out at Santa Anita that may be worth looking at. And there were some nice, just with the French races, I didn't really have time to pull up some of the other races from yesterday in, but there was some nice stakes races at Laurel yesterday too, and some two-year-olds on the turf that might be worth watching and looking forward to moving forward. So again, we'll look at a number of the stakes from yesterday though in recap, and as I say in a little bit, we'll also be joined by Dave Grenig from the Daily Racing Forum. But now, why don't we send it over to Longchamp and just take a look and a listen to the lead up of the ARC. We will watch the ARC itself, and then we will be back to continue on this Sunday morning racing across America. Stay tuned.
The trip very well and was very impressive.
Has she been training since her kind of disappointing performance here in Longchamp?
Yeah, no, everything's been good. She's been very good, very fresh, looks very well, her course very tight. Listen, she had the run 3 weeks ago, so that should be an advantage to her, especially in this soft ground.
And a word on Broom with Yutaka Take in the saddle?
Yeah, Broom, great to have Yutaka over here. Great to have him in the race. He's a very consistent, straightforward horse. He's firm with soft ground, stays the trip well, and he seems to be in good form. So, no, delighted that he's here.
It seems to be a competitive race, and of course the ground is a question mark for almost everybody in that shape.
I think so, always is. It's where everyone wants to be this weekend, and ARC is always super competitive. All the horses from the different ages, distances, they're all here, and it's just before the winter starts, and it always is a very hard race to win. It's great to be here.
Thank you very much. Aidan O'Brien trains Snowfall and Broom.
Yeah, Aidan's won it twice before, of course, with Dylan Thomas and with Found, and we saw a good Japanese contingent there in the crowd as well looking on, which is great to see. We welcome them.
Just speaking of the Japanese, we haven't really talked about Chronogenesis, and this five-year-old mare falls into that five-year-old mare category as well. She's she has actually won on soft ground over in Japan, and she's a last start winner back in June over the 2200 over there, and she flew in last week, Catherine.
Yeah, absolutely. The Japanese have changed the preparation from what we usually see. They usually come over at least 3 weeks to 2 months before the race. They just came in last week. Oshin Murphy flew over on Wednesday morning and had a gallop on the grass up at Les Aigles at Chantilly, and after that he told me that he was pleased with how she acted on the ground, which was already quite soft on that occasion. She's by Bago. She's a half-sister to Normcore, who won the Hong Kong Cup last season. She's got plenty of talent. She's a Group 1 winner, a four-time Group 1 winner from 10 furlongs up to 2,500 in the Arrow-McKinnon, which is the huge race in Japan over Christmas time. So could she be the one, Mike?
Could she be the one? Goodness me. I mean, and so you're not worried about the ground for her, Arthur? She has got form and soft ground.
She has got some soft ground. Not necessarily as heavy as what it is today, but
yeah,
she has
won
on a wet, a rain-affected track.
Horse nearest to us, there's Mojo Star, who is runner-up in the Epsom Derby and the St. Ledger. There's the winner, or the runner-up, I should say, in the Niel. That's Baby Rider, who's got ground to find with Hurricane Lane in the Grand Prix de Paris form. And they're loading in fairly steadily now. So come on, guys, who wins it?
Hurricane Lane.
Snowfall.
I think Snowfall as well. But I think Hurricane Lane is cast iron to get placed.
I'm putting him in as the danger, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, let's find
great
out.
Great race.
It is a fabulous race. Sit back and enjoy in the company of Ian Bartlett. And while we hand to Ian, let's find out what he fancies to win now.
Oh, I'm going to go for an outsider, Alan Kerr, I think. The stable was in such blinding form in the UK yesterday, and I think you'll probably love the ground. But we'll soon find out. Tanawa is about to be pushed forward. Here she is. She had a little bit of a set to at the moment with the stalls team. Christophe Simeon on board. Only had two runs so far this season. She won on this day 12 months ago. Shorter trip, the Pied de l'Opera, over 2,000 metres. Check jacket there is Broom, one of Aidan O'Brien's runners with Yutaka Take on board. But a five-year-old mare, Tanawa, just making the stalls team work for a while, but now she's gone in quite as the lamb in the end, so she is lined up. And Adiyar in the all royal blue colours of Godolphin is the other one to come forward and take his place. So we have a fantastic race in prospect here. 2,400 metres, a mile and a half for the Qatar Arc de Triomphe. They break away. Hurricane Lane and Adiyar and Alan Kerr, the first ones away. Mojo Star against the running rail as well. You'll spot Rabiar in the blue and white colours dropping in at the rear of the field to be the back marker as they begin to settle down. Chronogenesis red cap is deep on the course at this stage. Tanawa green colours. She'd be about seventh or eighth against the running rail. So early on, Mojo Star against the rails. Ahead of him is the check jacket of Broom, splash of white on his face, as also there is for the light blue jacket of Alan Kerr. Sheen Murphy has kept Chronogenesis, the five-year-old mare from Japan, on the rider picture, red cap. She's bang up with these leaders. She is wide of them, though. All blue colours is Adiyar. Behind him is Stable, made a white cap of Hurricane Lane. Green colours of Tanara against the rails. Further back then, Torquedo Tasso. It's a yellow, red and black jacket and a black cap. Then Deep Bond, blue and red colours. Spot the white bridle, one from the right. Extreme right of this picture is Silube up on the outside in yellow and green colours. Bubble Gift, nose-banded red sleeves, and Baby Rider in dark green and pink are to the back of the field. Rabahar, who's dropped in past a few, she's be about fourth last at the moment. Just ahead of her is Snowfall, Ryan Moore in the purple and white colours. As now William Buick has taken Adiyar through to the lead as they're turning past the halfway stage and beginning the run to home. Chronogenesis, the red cap in second. They've moved away from Broom in third position. Alan Kerr in fourth, and Mojar Star is next. Torquedo Tasso behind those. Hurricane Lane right up on the outside of Tanar and Deep Bomb behind these. Snowfall begins to make a little bit of progress past Rabihar. Silaway is next, and then Baby Rider. And Bubble Gift is at the rear of the field. They're already in the full straight and beginning the journey on towards home. Comfortably in front for William Buick. Adiyar leads the arc field. Chronogenesis, she's in second place, and Broom in third. It's getting tough for Alan Kerr, ridden along a little bit. Then Mojo Star and Torquedo Tasso behind those. Hurricane Lane, Deep Bond on the right, and Silaway also making progress. So now we're going to need a little bit of luck in running here. But Adiyar has lengthened. Look at this. He's gone on by three or four lengths here with William Buick. Second position, Chronogenesis. Tanawa coming against the rails. Hurricane Lane, the leader, Stablemates, moved into third. Snowfall coming. Torquedo Tasso running a big race. Now Adiyar is paddling in front as Hurricane Lane comes to join in. Tanawa between the two. Torquedo Tasso on the outside in the yellow jacket has a fantastic chance. Three in line as they come to the line for Germany. Torquedo Tasso's won it. Tanawa second, Hurricane Lane, Adiyar behind those from Sealy Way and Bubble Gift and Snowfall and Chronogenesis. Alan Kerr was next, and then Mojo Star. Rabihar behind this from Broom. Then came Baby Rider, and the last one home was Deep Bond. A sensational victory for Germany. Torquedo Tasso on the outside has gained a very narrow success at huge odds in the Qatar Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe. Second is very close. It looks like it might just be Tanawa in the green, the white cap of Hurricane Lane. It'll be a photo between those. Adiyar, number 10, is next, and Silaway heading the remainder. But a fantastic success for Germany here. Torquedo Tasso is the winner.
Oh, my goodness me. We cannot believe this. I don't think anybody can. Torquedo Tasso, trained in Germany by Marcel Weiss.
70-1.
70-1 winner of the 2021 100th Qatar Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe. René Pichuluk in the saddle.
And we have Fanny with some reaction.
And we've got Fanny with some of the stable staff.
Katia cannot believe her eyes. Their team, very young trainer, Marcel Weiss, has only been training for a year and a half, I think. Congratulations. You've just won.
Thank you.
I can't believe it coming this morning.
Thank you very much. I can't believe it. I can't find the words.
When the angekommen ist, heute Morgen?
Yesterday in the evening, 8 o'clock. And sleep very well and eat and
c'est comme un rêve pour Katia, tout s'est bien passé, le cheval est arrivé hier, il a très bien mangé, il a tout s'est très très...
Oh, sorry,
we were going different. So the horse traveled yesterday, she can't believe the day she's had, she's... Sorry, we're getting out of the way of the horses. It's been an incredible dream, the horse arrived yesterday, he slept well, he ate well, and now he's won the arc. Incredible feat from a very young trainer, he's only been training in Germany for a year and a half.
Yeah, we saw some pictures there of René Pichuluk, the jockey, speaking to Dominic Burff, and we'll hopefully catch up with him later. But it's his first win at Paris-Longchamp, Mike. He's had two wins in France this season. I was checking up. He's won at Wissembourg, which is just over the border from Germany, over in Alsace, and he's also won a small race at Lyon-Dangers. He's won Group 1 races in Germany, and notably with this Torquedo Tasso, who was second in the German Derby to Innsbruck last year.
Yes.
He's never shown anything quite up to this form on an international stage. It's his first race, I think, outside of Germany. And, he was going well all through it and just went through the ground.
Finish, wasn't it?
Phenomenal
and confirmed
finish.
That Tanawa is second with Hurricane Lane in third.
Yeah. Well, look, we'll have to look back on that again in a moment or two, but this is a stunning result. As you say, he was second to In Swoop last year. In Swoop, who was runner-up in the Arc last October. He's by Alder Flug, who was one of the big stallions who died earlier this year, didn't he, in Germany, so he's going to be sadly missed. Marcel Weiss is based in Mülheim, which is up near Düsseldorf, I think, isn't it? And René Pichaluk. I mean, you cannot... Do you know much about René's background?
No, not at all. I looked through his stats to see what his results were like in France. He's only won, I think he must have won less than 15 or 20 races in total in France.
Upset, quite a story with the trainer only having, joined the training ranks the last year and a half or so, according to the commentary there. Torquator Tasso getting it done at 71-1 to win the Arc. I thought my top pick, Adair, looked good turning from home, spurted away. I thought, oh, we're home free. And then late in the stretch run, it became apparent that one was going to get swallowed up a little bit. Tarnawa was right there. Hurricane Lane was right there. The other logicals, and I haven't seen any result of the photo, but it was number one. 4 and 11 were right there in the mix in the photo for the place in the show in the Arc. That was quite some performance, though, from the German-bred, German-based. Not a bad record. 10 lifetime starts before today. 4 wins, 3 seconds, and a third. Had won 2 of the last 3 starts over in Germany, including a Group 1 over there leading into this. So there was certainly some talent there. I just have to admit, I am not one to jump on the German runners when we're looking at European races or Europeans coming over here even. I'm more attuned to maybe French or the English or Irish runners, but Germany gets it done there in the Arc for 2021. All right, let me just get to a replay, and we have Dave Grennan coming up shortly, but we do have time, I think, to at least pull up the awesome again yesterday from Santa Anita. The storyline here was obviously, Medina Spirit. Medina Spirit goes off as the 6-5 favorite yesterday and gets it done under John Velasquez, who's been on board Medina Spirit for the last now 6 starts, including this one. Took him all the way around as the 6-5 favorite. At 54-1, the rank outsider Stiletto Boy, the number 4 horse, completes the exacta under Kent DeSormo. Express Train runs third. Tripoli, who looked to maybe have a little bit of life in here, coming off of a win last time in the Pacific Classic, a little bit of a disappointing fourth as the 5-2 second choice. But Medina Spirit now heads to the Breeders' Cup Classic. Presumably, the Breeders' Cup still saying they're making decisions about Baffert's status. To me, and I want to say there was a Bill Finley column maybe, and whoever wrote it within the last couple of weeks, I think they were right. Breeders' Cup, you can't wait until this point to say thumbs up or thumbs down on Bob Baffert. It's unfair to the trainer, the owners, and whatnot. So we'll see what they eventually decide. But hopefully, let things adjudicate themselves out and make appropriate decisions at that point. Don't change up, this late in the game for a situation going into the biggest day. But given all of that, it looks like Medina Spirit now goes in. But again, on the front, how's this going to play out? Hot Rod Charlie, Medina Spirit, Knicks Go. There's going to be a lot of heat up front at the Breeders' Cup in the Classic, and we'll see how that plays out for those front runners, but maybe more importantly for some of the horses coming from behind, and more importantly for us as players, which direction do you go? Do you trust that one of those front runners, like I would think if folks are tilting towards front runners, I would think Knicks Go probably gets the most of that love from the bettors, but it'll be interesting to see how bettors do play into the race with the amount of speed it looks to have and how those front runners do get played as they walk into the gate for the Breeders' Cup Classic. But there's still some time. Things can still shake out. We'll see how that all happens over the next few weeks. Medina Spirit yesterday, a 107 buyer, so heads to the Breeders' Cup with a legitimate number to be one of the contenders in the big race coming up in a few weeks. As I say, John Velasquez on board, so it's fun to see Johnny V ship out and win the big race on Saturday out at Santa Anita. All right, we will take a break. When we come back, we will be joined by Dave Grenick from the Daily Racing Forum, New York correspondent from the Racing Forum. We'll get Dave's thoughts on some of the action yesterday at Belmont and beyond. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Happy to be joined now by Dave Grenick, the New York correspondent for the Daily Racing Forum. We'll talk a little Belmont action and beyond. Dave, good morning.
Morning, Seth. How are you?
Very good. Happy to have you on board to talk about the big day yesterday. Maybe we'll also do a little preview this afternoon because there's some interesting entrants today as well. But why don't we kick right off with the Woodward and kind of work our way backwards. I liked Art Collector. I thought Code of Honor was a little bit live in here, and he just... The trip Code of Honor got, he didn't have anywhere to go on the turn, and then by the time the running started, he just had too much to do. On the other hand, Art Collector went out and kind of, you know, 24 and change, 47 and change, 112 and change, just kind of walked the dog on the front end. But all of that said, now three for his last three, including the stake up at Saratoga, the Charlestown Classic, and the Woodward. And it sounded from Bill Mott, reading your article, your follow-up article, in the DRF, it seems like they're thinking Breeders' Cup Classic next for this one. What were your impressions of the Woodward?
I too would like Art Collector going in. I actually thought the one turn mile and eighth was going to be perfect for him, although he seems to handle almost anything. I mean, he's run three times for Mott. He's gone two turn mile and eighth, three turn mile and eighth, and a one turn mile and eighth. So he's done it all. I like the way he ran yesterday. The problem, when you look ahead toward the Breeders' Cup for him and maybe Medina Spirit as well, is Nick Scow has that same running style, and he likes to go even a little faster. So are these horses in a chase mode, or is Nick Scow, you know, going to have to go too fast, or are these guys going to prompt Nick Scow? But the three winners yesterday of the Breeders' Cup Classic preps, Nick Scow, Medina Spirit, and Art Collector, all did it in the same front-running style. So it's going to be interesting moving forward. But, you know, Art Collector's bounced back from a disappointing end to his three-year-old year and a rough start to his, you know, a bad performance in his four-year-old debut. But, you know, maybe at the end of his three-year-old year, you know, going into the Preakness and then, you know, the Breeders' Cup, maybe they just pushed the envelope a little too far. And when he came off the bench, maybe he just wasn't ready to do anything, you know, from a sprint standpoint. So, they changed trainers. I'm not going to knock Tom Drury. He did a fabulous job with his horse, but he got up to Saratoga, and Mott's done a really nice job in picking out the right spots for this horse. And the third start off the layoff was the third start for Mott was very good. I thought it was a solid race. beating a solid, you know, very good horse in Maxfield. You know, Maxfield, I think, doesn't get necessarily the, I don't want to say, I hate that, not necessarily the respect he deserves, but I think you should admire Maxfield for the fact that he always shows up. He's run 10 times and he's never run a bad race. I mean, you know, he's been 7 for 9 now, or 8 for 10. I'm sorry, 7 for 10 with like 2 seconds and a third. I think that might be, I don't know if he'll be out, if he'll be the wise guy horse in the Classic. He'll be the forgotten horse in the Classic. And if he's double-digit odds, I'd probably put a few bucks on him, just from the standpoint of that he can sit right behind what looks to be a pretty solid pace.
Yeah, you know, that all ties in. Again, Maxfield ran second, and in your article it sounded like Brendan Walsh was perfectly happy with the performance as a lead into the Breeders' Cup. But again, just before we went to the commercial, we showed Medina Spirit winning yesterday, and I commented just what you said. There seems to be a lot of speed shaping up for that Classic, which maybe plays into Maxfield, because you go to the Stephen Foster, kind of sat off and got the stock and pounce trip there. And in the last two, he's been behind some quality speed. I mean, in the Whitney, he ran second behind Nick's Go, and yesterday ran second behind the Loose on the Lead, as they say, walking the dog Art Collector, who, by the way, got a solid 107 buyer in the victory yesterday. But the pace scenario in a few weeks may play into Maxfield's hands.
I think so, because, you know, Nick's Go is going to have to fend off several challenges at different stages in the race. It's just a matter of when they attack him, between Medina Spirit and maybe an Art Collector or Hot Rod Charlie and Essential Quality. I mean, those horses don't necessarily come out the back door. I mean, Essential Quality, what gives him an edge is that he's done it no matter, you know, any type of style. And I think he can sit back and be just as effective from off the pace as he can from on. In fact, I think he probably prefers it. So, and then you also have Hot Rod Charlie. You have Max Player, who's improved by getting involved in his races earlier. It just seems like there's a lot of horses that want to be forward. And, you know, a horse like Essential Quality or maybe Maxfield might be a little bit further off the pace. I think what the blinkers did for Maxfield yesterday was help him get into the race, break out of the gate, and be, you know, where jockey Jose Ortiz wanted him to be. Whereas in the Whitney, it seemed like Ortiz was a little bit on a chase, you know, chasing him to getting after him to get into the race a little bit. So while it might have been a subtle situation there, but it might be a subtle improvement there that the blinkers made for Maxfield.
Yeah, and I will mention Forza D'Oro, who had that big win up at Saratoga and subsequently went off as the favorite in the Jockey Club yesterday, continued the trend of not living up to that race. That early race in the Saratoga meet winds up fifth yesterday. And again, I thought Code of Honor was a little disappointing as well, running fourth in there. So there were a couple of performances. But I liked Code of Honor. But as they say, I don't think the trip played into his hands either. So Code of Honor, I may give an excuse to. Forza D'Oro, I'm not so sure.
I don't disagree there. And Code of Honor, you know, he might have bounced a little bit too off the big race coming off the layoff. I mean, he ran a huge race at Monmouth. And then, as you said, this race may not have played into his style the right way. And then, you know, combine that with a little bit of a regression off the big race at Monmouth. You know, he's still... You know, I think they'll go on with him. I think they're looking at a race like the Clark, maybe to get back to the Pegasus. So they weren't necessarily thinking the Breeders' Cup going in, and certainly wouldn't be thinking of it coming out.
One race earlier, the Belmont Turf Sprint Invitational, and it looks like Wesley Ward may be loaded going into Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint territory because he has another one that seems live. Arrest Me Red, a 3-year-old coming off of a stakes victory up at Saratoga. I was a little bit surprised this horse went off as the favorite at 2-1, but I say that, and when I handicapped the race yesterday on our handicapping show earlier, I had picked Therapist, and I don't normally like horses like this that cut back to turf sprints. I think turf sprints are more of a specialty, especially at the stakes level, but I don't think any of these jumped off the page that way. But maybe being kind of lightly raced, and from Wesley Ward coming off a turf sprint stake up at Saratoga, maybe this one had the potential to go into that category, and I think that's what he did yesterday. So Arrest Me Red, as I say, adds to the turf sprinters for Wesley Ward.
Yeah, there was no real defined pace in the race, and I think Irad Ortiz Jr. just figured, if I break well, I'm going to try and go for the lead. He didn't have to go super fast for a turf sprint 22-1, 45-3, and there was no one else really that wanted to be there. Gildman was forward, but I don't necessarily know that that's Gildman's best style. And everyone else was sort of having to come out of their better style. I think Pulsate and Chewing Gum prefer to come from well off the pace, and they might have been a little bit closer, might have been had to use a little harder to get to their position, and then couldn't give you their, you know, kick that they normally do. I think the disappointment to me was maybe back to his roots. I was expecting a step forward off his return. But Arrest Me Red, I just think, took advantage of this pace scenario and, you know, smart ride by Rod Ortiz Jr. He's undefeated sprinting on the turf. He's 4-for-6, but he's 4-for-4 sprinting on turf. And this was his first graded race. I think it's going to be another level that he's going to have to take it to in order to be a factor in the Breeders' Cup. Wesley Ward, as you alluded to, has a couple other ones, Golden Pal and Campanelle, the filly. They're both scheduled to run at Keeneland in the coming weeks, and if they perform well there, then they'll move on to the Breeders' Cup. So Wesley could have three in the turf sprint, which is 5 furlongs. Again, this is a 6-furlong race. That one's going to be 5. I don't know if that helps or hurts Arrest Me Red, but like I said, he's undefeated sprinting on turf.
A 100 buyer figure for Arrest Me Red yesterday. One of the highlights that I think folks were waiting for yesterday was the Champagne. There was 5 in there, I think you could have pointed at, and had maybe an equal level of confidence. Command performance, maybe you had to hope for an improvement, but I think that was not out of the question. And in fact, we saw that from Command Performance yesterday. I went with My Prankster. A little bit disappointing, though, running 4th in here. Gunite also disappointing, running 5th. But no disappointment for Jack Christopher, the number 3 horse, as we see running away here. Chart margin winds up to be 2¾, as Command Performance does run well late. With only the debut second place finish under his belt, he becomes an interesting runner for Pletcher Rapoli and company. But Jack Christopher looked really good yesterday, a 93 buyer. Your thoughts about the Champagne?
Yeah, he did look good. If you're looking forward into, say, the 3-year-old picture, I think I would want Command, if you're trying to figure out if any of these horses are classic-type horses, to me, Command Performance might fill the bill. I don't think anybody else does. Jack Christopher is a nice horse, and can he maybe stretch out to get the mile in 16th as a 2-year-old because he might be a little bit more precocious? Yeah, but I think in the end he'll wind up being a one-turn horse, and, you know, for the Saratoga meet next year, if he's running in the HL and Jerkins, that's the race I would think he would wind up, you know, if he's still performing at this level. It was a nice performance by him. He stalked the pace, overtook Gunite when Gunite sort of just folded his tent and then, you know, held off Command Performance. The thing that I'm a little concerned about is that the last quarter was like 26, and that's not going to cut it in a race like the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. So, you know, maybe he got a little, you know, maybe he waited a little bit when he made the lead. I'm not sure, but it was a nice race. He's going to have to step it up even more to be competitive with what I saw in California from Baffert's horse on Friday.
Yeah, and it was interesting, your follow-up article, you mentioned a Chad Brown runner from a couple years back who went into the Breeders' Cup as a maiden in a similar fashion, actually, Good Magic, and maybe Command Performance will follow that path.
Yeah, no, I ran into Mike Rapoli, the co-owner of Command Performance, on my way to the Winner's Circle, and we were talking briefly about it, whether he would, you know, go on to a race like the Juvenile or maybe just do something that gets him to the Remsen. I'm not sure what way they're going to go, but it would be interesting. I just wonder if his preferred style off the pace is going to be effective at Del Mar. Or maybe they just decide, hey, why don't we try to get him out to the mile and eighth beforehand? I guess that's a decision to be made. Todd Fletcher was in, visiting his daughter at college yesterday, so I didn't get a chance to speak to him. But I would imagine if there are 2 that come out of here, it would just be Jack Christopher and Command Performance, but more likely, I think, just Jack Christopher.
A little bit earlier was the Miss Grillo. McCulloch was certainly the horse that folks were looking at, but winds up running 3rd in here. It was Sail By getting it done for Leah Giarmati, who had run just prior in the P.G. Johnson, in an off-the-turf P.G. Johnson up at Saratoga. And I heard her post-race comments, and she was saying, you know, we were thinking this horse would improve stretching out on the turf, so they were a little bit disappointed with the P.G. Johnson situation, having to go to the main track and cut back to 7 furlongs. But it does look like Sail By appreciated the 2 turns yesterday at 12-1, gets it done. Kinchin runs second. McCulloch runs third in here. Again, your thoughts on the Miss Grillo?
Yeah, nice effort by Sail By. Good to see Leah get a great stakes victory here with this filly. And the race wasn't very fast, and she got a really good trip, whereas McCulloch and Kinchin didn't necessarily get the great trips, and the way they broke and the way that it was Philly Eagles, or who's in the three, Hail 2, kind of came out and pushed those horses out. They lost a little bit of position. The pace was modest, and they really couldn't close. But I don't want to take anything away from Sail By's victory, because it was well-earned, and she got a very nice trip, and she did show a dimension to be up close and still settle and close and finish, which is what she showed. You know, she had showed in her sprint victory at Belmont in the spring. It was a faster pace. She sat off the pace and came with a run. But the fact that she can lay a little closer and still finish, that's a good sign. But I think she's going to have to get a little faster to be a factor in the Juvenile Fillies turn.
Yeah, the number came up very light. The number's a 69, so I think there will have to be an improvement to you know, be moving forward and be contentious in some of the big races. But speaking of big races, let's move on to this afternoon, get a couple of thoughts on a couple of the races this afternoon. Let's start with the Frisette. Looking forward to this one today, the 9th race, Echo Zulu. You know, I'm a buyer's guy. I always say they're a tool in the toolbox, but sometimes the buyers just jump off the page and make one horse clearly the one to focus on in a race. And I think Echo Zulu has that going for her this afternoon. The win in the maiden special up at Saratoga and then the big win in the spinaway, both with 90 buyers, have a real edge on this field. Does anybody get by Echo Zulu today?
I don't think so. I think, you know, I don't see why she shouldn't be able to handle a one-turn mile as effectively as she was at 7/8 at Saratoga. But it is a different track, and it is, you know, we saw maybe Gunite didn't transfer his Saratoga form over to Belmont. Not saying that that's going to happen to Echo Zulu, but she goes in as a pretty strong favorite. Interesting horse for Pletcher in that Jester Calls No Joy. It was an impressive maiden winner. I guess at her second start, and he said to me he was a surprise that she got beat first out. So, but sometimes when you get beat first out, it gives you that, and you can come back in a maiden race, gives you that added experience, which is never a bad thing. So if there's a horse that could beat Echo Zulu, maybe it's Chester Calls No Joy. But to me, the other two would really, the rest of the field would really have to step it up in order to be effective here.
Yeah, looking forward to her performance, Echo Zulu. And then the Pilgrim for the two-year-olds on the grass. Nice little field in here. You wrote in your preview article about Annapolis coming out of the maiden breaker and the debut up at Saratoga for Todd Pletcher, but also in here, Portfolio Company for Chad Brown and Klarovich, who broke the maiden in the first start up at Saratoga and then ran a pretty good second in the with the Anticipation. Your thoughts on the Pilgrim this afternoon?
Well, I think Annapolis goes in as way the horse to beat. I think Portfolio Company, if he learns how to relax a little bit, and maybe he seems to have been a bit rank in each of his first two starts, it might have taken a little bit of the starch out of him second time. But if he learns to relax, he can be very dangerous in here. But Annapolis was an eye-catching winner of his maiden win. And I'm not, you know, to me, it's one of those two. And I have to give the edge to Annapolis just because I thought he was really professional. I thought he had to deal with a little bit of, you know, he was between horses. He came out wide and then really closed nicely. I think he should really love Belmont's course.
Yeah, looking forward to that one as well. Some nice two-year-old action at Belmont this weekend. But I wanted to also, before I let you go back to last weekend, because you had coverage of the Pennsylvania Derby card down at Parks. I know you were down there and appreciated your coverage. Daily Racing Form, the hard copy, drf.com. And I just wanted some thoughts on some of the it was a great day of racing, and hats off to Parks because they got great fields. And more importantly, a lot of the performers lived up to their expectations, which is always fun. But some thoughts on Clary Air, Jackie's Warrior, who was spectacular, and, of course, Hot Rod Charlie.
Yeah, well, Jackie's Warrior, when you talk about a prep, that's what that was. It was it was an easy race. You know, he had, you know, Steve Asmussen had mentioned about going to the Vosburg, but I know that he'd kind of told me and kind of swore me to secrecy not to put out there that he wanted the Gallant Bob, just because it was just, he didn't want to sit on him until the Breeders' Cup, and he, but he wanted as easy a race as he could potentially get, and I think he found that a paid workout in 108-4. He's just a really cool horse, and we're going to take a really tough, it's going to be really tough to beat him in the sprint, although Dr. Chanel yesterday at Santa Anita was eye-catching as well. Clary Air got her grade one. There was no Malafat. There was, you know, now she's got to step up against not only Malafat, who's beat her several times, but Latruska and some of the other older fillies and mares. I think it's going to be tough for the three-year-olds to beat the older ones this year. And then in the Derby, look, Hot Rod Charlie and Midnight Bourbon, they were the weight class of the field. The one thing I did not get, I know this sounds like redboarding, I am a Speaker's Corner fan, but I could never have bet him over those two. And he was by 10 cents to the dollar, he was a shorter price than Midnight Bourbon. And, you know, you have to factor in your handicapping, the experience and the level of competition that Midnight Bourbon and Hot Rod Charlie were facing all year long and delivering time after time. It was a two-horse race to me, and the, you know, Hot Rod Charlie, they decided to go to the front, which I think you have to give them a little bonus point for that, because that wasn't the style that was winning at Parks that day. It was mostly off-the-pace types. Yeah, he still does that thing where he got out a little bit at the top of the lane. Not great. You really can't give up anything in a race like the Classic when you got to step up against olders. But Hot Rod Charlie is a serious horse. Midnight Bourbon will not go on to the Classic. I think they're going to treat him a little bit like Gunrunner and focus on his four-year-old year. And if he could have half the year Gunrunner had at four, it'll be pretty special, because Gunrunner had a terrific four-year-old season. But Hot Rod Charlie already back in California at Santa Anita with Doug O'Neill, and provided he's healthy and he'll be a factor in the Classic too.
I wanted to touch on one more race, the Parks Dirt Mile, because that was, how about, if you played Silver State like I did, you were headed to the window, you were headed to the bank, yeah, with your money, and then Mind Control just said, no, it's my day, and Mind Control just a comeback effort like you don't normally see in a 104 buyer. That was a really nice comeback from Mind Control in the Parks Dirt Mile.
Mind Control is one of the more underappreciated horses. Yeah. He's another one. He's had a few clunkers on his form, but when he's right, he brings it, and he does fight. He does not give up easily. I mean, the one race he won at, I want to say it's a Tom Fool, but I might be wrong. It could be the Toboggan. Last year, at Aqueduct, when he looked hopelessly beaten, and he came on and got the job done. And again, he looked like he was going to lose this time to Silver State, and what was going to be a good performance for both horses. And then all of a sudden, I don't know, Silver State kind of eased up. That's what Ricardo Santana indicated. But you can't do that against Mind Control, because he'll fight you. And the good thing for Mind Control is he proved he could go two turns. He hadn't tried two turns since the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, which, in addition to just probably not being good enough, he'd gotten a little temperature when he first shipped to California, and it was was not ideal. But he showed he could get the two turns, very key. And there'll be factors in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, but they have to run into a little horse named Life Is Good, who that same day at Belmont, when I was down at Parks, you know, put on a show in the Kelso, and he'll be fun to watch in that Dirt Mile.
Yeah, the second half of the year is shaping up very, very nicely. The three-year-olds have come to the fore in the various divisions, heading to the Classic and the Sprint with Jackie's Warrior. Flight Line, I guess they're going to bypass the Breeders' Cup but head to the Malibu. The Malibu may be interesting at the end of the year this year. And I just wanted to touch on one more, because you mentioned how Mind Control may be a little underrated. I think another horse from last Saturday at Parks, not necessarily underrated, but may just be because of racing mostly at Parks, under the radar for folks. And that was Chubwagon, who just an incredible win machine after last weekend, 11 starts, 10 wins. And so I wanted to toss Chubwagon into the mix. And I'm just wondering, down at Parks, did that horse get some special love?
Yeah, you know what? She's a fan favorite, no doubt down there. So yeah, when she got that victory, there was a lot of cheering going on, and it was nice for the locals to get one of the bigger races. And she's fun. She's a fun filly, and I think they're going to put her away and then plot out her 4-year-old campaign. I don't know what they're thinking now that they. I mean, I'm not criticizing. I don't know what they're thinking of for her 4-year-old campaign. Is she 1 turn? Is she 2 turn? To me, even though she won that race last week, I think she's probably best around 1 turn, and there should be plenty of opportunities for her, whether it's in part, you know, Pennsylvania, if they have any PA bred stakes, Laurel, New York, Monmouth. They can have a lot of fun with her, and it's cool that we would see a filly like her to come back next year after going 10-for-11 to this point in her career. Fun horse.
Yeah, I'd love to see her, you know, kind of step out and branch out, because every once in a while we'll get one of these. They're a little bit parochial where they make their money, and you can't argue going state bred. There have been various horses like this over the years, but eventually to step out is kind of fun too, and see what they can do against, you know, the broader, the open kind of company. Dave, appreciate the visit as always. Again, tell people to catch your work. The hard copy of the Daily Racing Form or DRF.com. But we appreciate your conversation this morning, and we will talk again.
Sounds good, Seth. Have a good day.
Dave Grenig from the Daily Racing Form. That'll lead us to a break. We'll come back from the break. I will check. Supposedly there's another race. Yeah, we're looking at about 5 minutes to the next race out at Longchamp. We will see how that will play out. They were a little late with the ARC. But we'll come back, and we'll either go to that or we'll do some more replays. We'll figure it out after the break, so stay tuned. Racing Across America continues.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Again, thanks to Dave Grenig for jumping on this morning and going over not only some of the stakes yesterday at Parks, but yesterday at Belmont, but also today at Belmont and last week at Parks. All right, they're on the course for the Prix de l'Opera at Longchamp, another important Group 1 on the card today. And looking at our odds and a nice full field of 15. It looks like the number one, I say full field is 15. The 13 is out. So full field of 14. Number one, Grand Glory, taking the action from a 10-1 morning line down to 4-1 now. Frankie Dettori on board this one, coming off of a win at Deauville most recently. Second of two wins in the last couple of starts, so comes in obviously in good form. Both of those were over a little off going, so the going today may not be a big obstacle for that one. I thought Babylon, I'm guessing at the pronunciation there, the number 10 horse was maybe intriguing if you're looking for a little bit of a price at 19-1. The last race certainly wasn't encouraging, but it was one of those that looks like enough of an aberration that I think we can maybe count on a rebound to get us in the hunt at a decent price. So the 10 in the mix for me for Andre Farb and William Buick. The 12 also seems an interesting play. Boy, you're getting 24-1 there. The 12 horse, you're getting 24-1 from a 5-2 morning line. I thought the morning line looked a little short off the last race, admittedly, but 24-1. So I'll toss in the one. I'll box up the 1, 10, and 12 in a little exacta here and see if we can get the 10 and the 12 in the mix at a price. So for me, 1, 10, 12 exacta box as they load into the gate at Longchamp. We'll take a look and a listen at this upcoming Prix de l'Opera. Come back and wind up Racing Across America for a Sunday morning. Stay tuned.
Villa Spain, Christopher Head, the Head dynasty. Christopher's the son of Freddie Head, and he's just in his second year, I think, of training, maybe his third year, but this is his flagship horse.
And what is a sizable pool has come in from 9.1 as the opening quote is was touching favouritism at 5.2 at one stage, back out to 5.3. The money's come for Odeira, who's now the favourite in what is a seesawing market here. The original favourite in the race, Grand Glory, is out to 6.8.
Yeah, quite a lot of movement, isn't
there? Yeah, there's a lot of movement here. The main chances here are numbers 1, 5 along with 7, and then we've got horse 9 well in the market, the German Oaks winner, and Sibylla Spain. The thing about Sibylla Spain is, as Catherine mentioned, gets out in front, but in that race, the Prix d'Anne, she actually was headed at the 200 and fought on. She came again and drew clear again. She's got a big heart, and with that big lead last time out, she certainly is well here and suited to this race. It'll be an interesting contest. I know the connections have a very high opinion of her.
Bergarita's gone in. She'll love the conditions today, but she is drawn wide, so not ideal for her. Rougier going forward, fifth in the Prix de Diane. Listen, there aren't too many more to go. Let's join Ian for the Prix de l'Opera Longines.
And Bergarita is the last one of them to go forward, so they have a mile and a quarter, 2,000 metres to race over here. They leave the starting stalls as they do so. Zayada is a little slower than the others away. Eudaimonia, Bergarita and Thundering Knights are also towards the back of the field. Blue and white colours, Sibylla Spain goes through to show in front. Odoria, yellow sleeves against the running well. Joan of Arc, purple jacket is next. And then Palmas, the mainly black jacket, yellow cap, light blue and yellow for Grand Glories alongside her. The brown colours, Bergarita, deepest on the course, nearest to this camera, Grand Glory is next to her. Then we have the stripes of Incarville, red and yellow. Also stripes, grey and white is Ambition right against the running rail. Behind those, Zayada, blue and white jackets, around the outside of Babylon in red and white. He's in fact just fractionally ahead of her. Then Bergarita, ahead of Thundering Knights, maroon jacket, yellow stars on the sleeve. She's got three behind her at the moment. Rougier in yellow and green. Ecat, the green cap. And Eudaimonia is at the rear of the field. So they begin the run on towards home and head down, approaching already the halfway stage. Olivier Pellier on Sibylla Spain has moved through to a two, maybe slightly longer lead over Udaria in second place, and Ambition is a length and a half back in third. There'll be two lengths off those to Babylon, Joan of Arc and Palmas, all race in line. Behind those is Incarville, red and yellow striped jacket, and Grand Glory, the star in her head, the light blue and yellow jacket. Bergarita, Thundering Knights are either side of Zayada. Rougier comes next, and then comes Ecat and Eudaimonia at the back of the field. But at the head of the straight, it's still Sibylla Spain. Blue and white colours, she moves along comfortably in front. Odaria in second place, the yellow sleeves try to get after her, but it's two, three lengths behind in second. Then Incarville has moved into third. Grand Glory behind these and Ambition. Zayada making progress on the extreme right. Rougier is picking up strongly, but look at Odaria and Iretz Mendezabel who've come through to take it up. But now from the back of the field, Grand Glory, Rougier, Eudaimonia are all beginning to challenge, and down the centre of the track in light blue, Grand Glory, but nearest to us, Rougier, Grand Glory and Rougier, it's on the nod between them. Eudaimonia's behind those in third, Odaira, Thundering Knights, Zayada behind those from Sibylla Spain. They're followed in by Incarville and Ambition, and behind those was Palmas and Bergarita and Joan of Arc. Ecat is still coming, and Babylon is the back marker. This is close. Nearest to us is Rougier, number 11. Furthest from us is Grand Glory, number 1. The judge will have to split those. I'm not brave enough. Eudaimonia, number 4, was behind him in third. Odoria, number 5, back in fourth. It looks like being right at the back of this field was the place to be.
This is very, very tight. I think
I just feel as though that the head bobs was in Rougier's favour, but
they've posted number one on their big screen here.
Have they? Grand glory.
But it is very, very close. Oh, no, they've just posted photo.
Yeah, it's got to be. Done, what do you think? I think Rougier's done this.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, she's got the momentum up, but gee, Grand Glory, she loves to be in a photo.
it's tight. I mean, Udamonia, the handicapper, has come from miles back to take third.
Yeah, she's a decent enough performer, trained by Edouard Montfort. She's always looked as though she was going to be capable of something like this, but hadn't quite produced it as yet. But Maxime Guyon, the rider of Rougier, who has been called as the winner. Yes.
Yeah, Rougier's got it. Je suis avec Max.
And so, listen to what Maxime's got to say.
Oui, ben écoutez, je suis avec Max. Il est heureux. Il attendait le développement.
Maxime's happy. He's waiting for the photo to be officialized.
Écoute, c'est une super pouliche. C'est une des meilleures 3 ans françaises. Et là, elle met.
I love to see the photo. It couldn't have been more than that. That was some finish. It was Rougier over Grand Glory at, by my odds, 24-1 over 5-1. The four ran third at 38-1. So nice little exacta try in there if you had the old 11-1-4 combination. Look at this finish. That was just some finish there. Super tight, nice race there in the Prix de l'Opera. All right, we have a couple of minutes left, and since we do have a couple of minutes left, why don't we jump in and show one more replay, because this obviously will have Breeders' Cup implications. Let's take a look at yesterday's Lucas Classic from Churchill. The game plan was clearly going to be Nick's go to go out and lead him on a merry chase. That's exactly what happened. Our colleague Brian Addo on the handicapper support yesterday said, if you're looking maybe a one punch exacta with Independence Hall underneath. Independence Hall, the number 5, does get up to run second. Shared Sense third. Tacitus runs fourth as the 6-1 second choice. So Tacitus may be a little bit disappointing, but no disappointment for Nick's go, taking them all the way around with a 104 buyer. So again, now heads to the Breeders' Cup off of this race with a solid buyer number and the speed to spare. It's going to be very interesting to see how this pace scenario plays out, as we've talked about already this morning when we get to the Breeders' Cup Classic. Also, do want to note, Plainsman won the ACK yesterday. Plainsman over Bo Liam, and that was maybe the more notable. There we go. There's the replay. And it's notable. Watch the 10 horse. The head's cocked sideways for Bo Liam. Bo Liam goes off at 50 cents to the dollar. And finally, the horse gets straightened out and starts to really make some ground. But by then, Plainsman had the jump. So the Brad Cox trainee with Joel Rosario on board gets the win in the ACK after the same pair team up, Brad Cox and Joel Rosario, to win the Lucas Classic. So a nice day for New York-based, but down in Kentucky yesterday, Joel Rosario and, of course, trainer Brad Cox as well. Nice day for them on the stakes side down in Kentucky. I was going to mention, and I don't know, I suppose the guys can pull up the replays and we can maybe go a little bit long. We're still fine at this point. But I did want to pull up a couple of two-year-old races from Friday at Santa Anita, because you would have to think these will both play potentially into Breeders' Cup juvenile races. Being that these were out at Santa Anita, you would think they will play into the situation with the juvenile races at Del Mar. Certainly the boys' version will. The Chandelier is for the two-year-old fillies, however. The winner will be Ain't Easy, coming off of a maiden victory back on August 21st. Ain't Easy follows it up with a victory in the Grade 2 Chandelier. Who's on board? Joel Rosario, who spent Friday opening day out in Southern California, hops on a plane, goes and wins a couple of stakes in Kentucky. 81 buyer figure for Ain't Easy. She goes off as the second choice at second choice at 7-2. The favorite was Grace Adler. Disappoints running fifth. Came out of a nice win at Del Mar last time, and came out of a nice win at Del Mar last time in a stakes race to go 2-for-2. But David Arigona had tweeted out, who we had on the show yesterday, he had tweeted out something to the effect of, even in these kind of races, buyer figures still matter. And she had won the Grade 1 Del Mar debutante by 11 lengths, but with a 74 buyer, which put her right in the mix with the rest of these, so that she went off as the 4-5 favorite. Was maybe a little short, I think he was alluding to, and that's how it played out. You know, these horses are still lightly raced, still maybe some upside potential, and Ain't Easy lived up to that. 74 buyer for Ain't Easy in the debut maiden victory, and then an 81 yesterday in the, or Friday in the Chandelier out there in Southern California. So there was the two-year-old win at Santa Anita on opening day Friday on the girls' side of things. On the boys' side of things, clearly this will have some juvenile, Breeders' Cup juvenile implications, because it was a winner for trainer Bob Baffert. Mike Smith on board Corniche, the number one horse here, who wins pretty easily, win number two and start number two. The debut victory down at Del Mar, a win by 4.5 lengths as the 1-2 favorite, got a 98 buyer that day. The buyer went backwards on Friday, got only an 85, but what the heck, didn't have to push here. Mike Smith was on board for both of the victories so far, so Corniche now 2-for-2, including the Grade 1 American Pharoah on Friday at Santa Anita. And as I say, off of these two performances, this horse will certainly take a lot of action on Breeders' Cup weekend in the juvenile. All right, excuse me, we will wrap it up as we're at the top of the hour. Don't forget, today is an NFL Sunday day here at the Clubhouse Racebook. If you wear a jersey, you get in for free. You can potentially win a jersey, put your name on the squares, maybe get a jersey, maybe win a restaurant voucher, but you can watch all the football action and all the racing action every Sunday throughout the NFL season right here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Congratulations to the folks on the Pick 3 bankroll team yesterday. I put together a few Pick 3 tickets. I focused on two different Pick 3s. But the early Pick 3, we had a number of tickets. Some went a little deeper, some a little shallower. And then we had more of a caveman ticket on the later Pick 3. The later Pick 3, we got knocked out in the last leg. But the early Pick 3, two of our tickets hit. They each paid $234 and change, so our $100 original investment ballooned up to just under $470. There were five people on the team, so everybody got $94 of free money from Capital OTB. So just, I mention it, I guess to brag a little bit that we hit, but more importantly, actually, I mention it because you want to check these promos every week and the bankrolls and whatnot. Put your name in the hat and see if you can get selected, because there's nothing wrong with free money at the races. And so everybody yesterday walked away with a little chunk of cash. So again, congratulations to everybody on the Pick 3 bankroll team yesterday. And as I say, when I'm in here, I always mention the promotions, but you can certainly always go to capitalotb.com, and there's a promotions link right at the top of the page that will lay out all the promotions for the entire month as well. So again, keep it in mind and jump in and take advantage of the Capital OTB promotion calendar. All right, that does it for this edition of Racing Across America. I'll be back in about an hour and a half or so with a Sunday afternoon edition of OTB Live. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.